יהיו לרצון, נמרף הגיון לבי לפניך, אדוני, צורי וגואלי. May the words of my mouth and thoughts of my heart be acceptable before you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Shalom all and welcome. Erev tov. Buenas noches. Bienvenidos, everybody. These are the Kosher Torah School classes in the teachings of the Kabbalah of Rabbi Yosef Chaim, the famous Ben Ish Hai of Baghdad. And I am, of course, your host, Ariel Bartzadok. You find me online at the Kosher Torah School at koshertorah.com. This is lesson 8 in our present series in this book called Dat Utfuna. We are learning in the 19th chapter. And we just finished discussing a section, a rather lengthy section, wherein which our author, Rabbi Yosef Chaim, the Ben Ish Hai, is quoting Rabbi Chaim Vital from his book, Sha'arei Kiddusha. Now, in the Sha'arei Kiddusha, Rabbi Chaim Vital was discussing the issue of prophecy. Prophecy. What exactly is prophecy? Well, the definition, just for brevity's sake, without getting into too much theological or philosophical discussion, communing with God. How's that? Well, the issue that Reb Chaim had to explain, and which the Ben Ish Hai picked up on and is going to continue to discuss now, is, well, gee whiz, both in the philosophical construct, whether it be Aristotelian, Maimonidean, or Laurianic, God in his ultimate essence is unknown and unknowable, completely detached from creation. And when we discuss in the Kabbalah the concept of the Ein Sof, that is indeed true. If you will remember just briefly, what we call the Seder HaHishtalshelut, or the order of, if you will, spiritual evolution, development, emanation, whatever, choose your preferred term of description. God the Unknowable reveals only an essence, an element, I should say, of his essence into creation, which is called his name. That name being the being of creation, or Yud-Keh Vav-Keh. That name only reveals itself in creation to a point. And that point is what we call the revealed creator. And we use the Kabbalah language to say that is the worlds or realms of Adam Kadmon and Atzilut. But below the creator, of course, is the creation, which are the lower worlds, which we call Biria, Yitzira, and Asiya. We say that the ultimate essence of God, the unknowable, is revealed through Adam Kadmon, and Adam Kadmon is revealed through Atzilut. Up until there is the revelation of the Creator. Beyond that is creation. The first level of creation, we said, was called the domain of souls, Mahtzav HaNeshamot. And we define souls as being, if you will, the hive mind collective of all sentient beings, which we call man. Now, man is only the limited application within the context on earth. But the greater context, when we look at it correctly, in the greater scheme of the teachings of the Ari, is that it's all sentient life of a certain level. Okay? Those are called the neshamot. And we say that a spark of God the Creator descends down into them. And that symbol of descent, which, because there's really no ascent and descent, if you will, in these place, in these dimensions where in which there is no concept of physicality. But yet an element, an aspect of this creator, called the world of Atzilut, emanates into this baryatic realm, the realm of the souls, enlivens it, connects with it. And then the realm of the souls emanates and gives rise to the realm of the messengers, who we call the malachim. They therefore emanate into the physical planes, which there is this envelope of klipa, or what we call negativity, and then into the physical side itself. Remember, we call it negativity only from our context of being here in this world, because what it is, what we call klipa or negativity, is the energy or elemental aspect which draws us to this physical world, as opposed to draws us towards the higher dimensional planes. That's actually the proper and correct understanding of that which we call the Yetzer HaTov and the Yetzer HaRa. But now, moving on. Rabbi Yosef Chaim, the Ben Ish Chai, now asks us a question. And he states, Hine lachora yesh kan ha-ma'ayen makom she'ela. Appears to be to those who will investigate this matter that we have here a room to ask a question. All right? Ketav Rabbeinu Marachu Zal b'inyan ha-machtzavim sheish machtzav sefirot. He writes that the domains, again referencing the language that he uses in the Sha'arei Kedusha, he says we have originally the domain of the sefirot, and then upon it, remember, outside of it is the domain of the souls, and then upon it, outside it, the domain of the angels, etc. And he says this choice of language is new. Reb Chaim doesn't speak about machtzavim anywhere else other than here. All right? And he didn't write about these things in the great book Etz Chaim, or in his other books, the Mavo Sha'arim, or the Eight Gates that we have, with all the details of all the different worlds that he brought down from the teachings of the Ari. So, what's the story? Are these new teachings? Are they parallel teachings? Are they, well, what are they? And Rabbi Ben Ish Chai, of course, is going to answer our question. He says, Hinei da, now no. These words, this language that Rabbi Chaim writes here is nothing new. There's nothing revelatory about it. He wrote about this in the Etz Chaim and in all the other places. The only difference is that this book, the Sha'arei Kedusha, which we just finished quoting, was a book written for the public. It was written to be publicly disseminated. And therefore, the language used in that book is condensed. It uses a different terminology. However, we find that this terminology that he used in the Sha'arei Kedusha is nothing new. Rather, it's just formatted differently in the Etz Chaim. Now, before we go into the Etz Chaim, let me just comment on this because it's important. There has never been a secret in Torah tradition that there has always been what we call revealed Torah and concealed Torah. The concept of classified information is nothing that should surprise anyone. We know about it from politics, we know about it in business, and yes, it exists in pretty much every religion that I know of. There's the teachings to the masses, and then there is a different, if you will, in quote, secret teachings within. And you can say, well, what's the big secret? The answer is that some knowledge is so sensitive that it can actually be dangerous in the hands of those people who can't handle it. The Torah of the Ari actually gives the beautiful analogy with what we call the shattering of the primordial vessels. That originally there was a vessel, light fills the vessel, but the light was too much for the vessel couldn't handle it, and it broke, regardless of whatever the details of these symbols mean. We recognize a concept. Too much of anything cannot be good. Yes, there is actual knowledge and information, which is very, very sensitive and is best left in the hands of those people who know how to handle it. I'll give you an example. For those of you who have ever studied martial arts, there are ways to punch and ways to kick and ways to do forms in different styles and structures. And yet there is a very in-depth teaching at the highest levels where in which you can learn how to kill somebody with a single blow. But those types of strikes and moves are only taught to the highest level student. Now, why is that? Bottom line, if the point and purpose of the martial arts is to kick and punch and beat up or kill, gee whiz, I would expect then that the first thing that I'd want to teach the people were all these one-blow knockout moves. But that's not what the martial arts are all about. The martial arts are not about fighting an external battle. They're about fighting an internal battle. Very similar to how we describe in Judaism about fighting the war against the evil inclination. And all of the martial art practices are meant to discipline the mind by disciplining the body. And of course, learning self-defense along the way. And the greatest of all martial arts experts are the most fanatical pacifists. They would sooner suffer personal harm, if not death, rather than harm another. However, if you try to harm another yourself, then they will rise to the occasion and defend that other. Very selfless. This is true of the Chinese martial arts. It's true of many of the Japanese martial arts, certainly the Bushido code, the way of the samurai in the Japanese culture, many of these things. This is a culture and this is a discipline which was held in high esteem by Maimonides and very much worthy of our respect and practice. Being that you have to first rise to the level of being a complete pacifist, then those individual blows, which could, God forbid, cripple or kill, can only be trusted into the hands of those who have already shown appropriate and successful discipline that they would not use such moves based out of anger or power or anything other than in the most dire circumstances which requires them. Now you understand why certain things have to be kept away until certain people get to a certain level. Just as it is with the martial arts, there are certain lessons, informations about our Torah, which is the same. And for those who study Talmud, who become sharp of mind and intellect, when it comes to understanding Jewish law or the actual truths of Kabbalah, you find that these are the things that people are exposed to. Here in the Kosher Torah School, I reveal to you pretty much up front what the true nature of Kabbalistic study is, or in other words, why and how it is a psychological system, as opposed to being interpreted, and falsely and wrongly interpreted, as a system about the external worlds somewhere out there in the universe. And you should know, many of my peers do not have the same depth of understanding and insight into Kabbalah and seek to interpret it, as we say, kepshuto, literally speaking, without understanding its true depth or its internal psychological parameters. Many people adamantly demand, yes, that's the correct term, that it refer to the outside world and they don't care about the inside. Well, they're not ready for the light. They can't handle it. I get it. And that is why our audiences here in Kosher Torah, as compared to many of the other cults and more popular groups, why our audience is so small. Because that's just the way it is. Not everybody can handle everything. Not everybody can handle the truth, and not everybody wants the truth. People like the superficial. People do not like depth. I'm writing a series now on Kosher Torah. It's online, the Kosher Torah School, entitled, What is Enlightenment? I've published the first two essays, and I'm notorious about starting series that just end somewhere along the line, so I don't know how long this series will go. Hopefully, it will go for a while. Because I want people to understand. Reb Chaim Vital, he took a very in-depth level, which he explains in his Etz Chaim, which we're about to read now, and tried to explain it in a condensed form so that the layman who would read his book, Sha'arei Kedushah, would have some semblance and concept of what he was talking about. And again, the topic is prophecy. How does God connect to us? And pretty much what he was trying to explain was that because there is an overlapping and an interaction, a weaving, if you will, from one level to the next and from the next to the next, then we can understand how one thing can, if you will, flow into the next. That's pretty much what Rabbi Chaim is saying. And he wrote it in a condensed and brief form, which we have just finished discussing. But again, the Ben Ish Chai says, well, gee, that's real nice. How is it in its original form? Well, let's go a wee bit deeper. Ha'inyanu, the matter is this. Ki nitba'er sham be'etz chayim. In the book, the Etz Chaim, it's written, Be'inyana olamot, kulam ha'atchala ad sof, sheyesh ben bechinat atzmut, v'hem esfirot va'orot, v'yesh ben bechinat akilim. Rabbi Chaim there explains in the Etz Chaim that with regards to the worlds, all of them, there are two aspects. There is the essence, which we call the sefirot, or the light, and then there is that which we call the vessel. Force and form, spirit, body. We can use all different types of symbolism to describe a relationship between an inner and outer form, expression of whatever it is that we have. Benit ba'er bekelim atzmam, yesh bichinat pinimiut ubichinat hitzoniut. And the vessels themselves, we subdivide between the inside of the vessel, which faces the light, and the outside of the vessel, which reflects the light. One side receives the light, one side reflects the light. That's called the functions of the vessel. Think about this momentarily within the context of our human minds. In our minds, we receive light, symbolically speaking. What is the light? Revelations from the unconscious. That's the realm which we call Chokhmah, Atzilut, corresponding to the Creator. Same thing in this application here. And there are two elements and aspects of our mind. There is the inner mind, which receives that, contemplates it, thinks about it, crystallizes it, if you allow the metaphor, digests it. And then there is the other function of the mind, which seeks to be able to express it, possibly teach it, share it, or if it's something practical, put it into action. The two modes of thinking are radically different. One is referred to as the penimiut, internal side, the other, chitzoniut, external side. Please understand this again within this psychological context, as opposed to trying to understand this as something physical. Moving right along. Okay. Now he says, let me quote to you Rabbi Chaim Vital's language in a moment. Hine, lu'orot shebetoch ha-kelim, the light that's within these vessels, kara otam Rabbi Chaim Vital b'sham shari kedusha b'shem ha'tzav ha-sfirot. The lights that are within the vessels, in shari kedusha, that is what Chaim Vital called the domain of the sefirot. Or the penimiyut shel kelim, and the inside element of the vessel. Well, in this shari kedusha, that is what he called the domain of souls. The external side of the vessel, that is what he referred to as the domain of the angels. V'hayinu ki neshamot ba'ime or penimiyut hakelim. The souls come from the inside of what's called the vessel, and the angels, they come from the light of the outside of the vessels. Now again, let's take a step back and understand. There are levels of sentient consciousness. Some whose job it is to look up to receive, and others whose job it is to look down to give. Those which look up to receive are called the neshamot souls. Those who look down to give are called the messengers, because that's what they do. They pass on that which they received. And of course, the Hebrew word for messenger is malach, malachim in plural, angels. And that is the real difference between the two types of species. Their defined or difference is actually more in function. Their level of reception of the light and defines their function. Only a higher level can receive. A lower level cannot receive as much, and it receives what it can to pass on. It's the same thing with human consciousness. Our contemplative mind has a power and a function to it that sometimes physical action or acting out physical things just doesn't. It's as simple as that. We can sometimes think more deep than act more deep. That's just the truth of things. So, even within our own psychological parameter, we have, if you will, individualized the psychological level called the neshama soul, and the psychological level called the yetzirah ruach soul. Each of us has an element of both within. Continuing in our text, v'halacha l'shon Rabbeinu Zala be'etz chayim b'shar kav chet. And this now is a quote from Rabbi Chaim Vital in his book Etz Chaim, Gate 28, which is called the Sha'ar HaIborim, or the Gates of the Pregnancies, Chapter 1. And Rabbi Ben Ishai quotes, Neve'er inyan hitzoniut upnimiut uma inyanam. Let's now discuss the insides and the outsides and what they're all about. Ki achitzoniut hem metziut ha'olamot. The outsides are what we call the reality of the worlds. And the penimiut hem bechinat ha'neshamot. The penimiut are the elements of the souls. So, we have force, we have form, we have body, we have soul. To everything, there is this, can we call it a duality? An inside and an outside? We have a physical body. We are all well aware of that. And we have a soul, a mind, a level of sentient and consciousness, whether we use it or not. Most of us, or at least sometimes, aware of that. The ha'inyan, the matter is, kihine, yesh bezun, al derech ze bekol ha-partzufim shne bechinot. We know that with regards to the sephirotic faces called Ze'er, Anpin, and Nok, which are the highest levels of the lower faces of God, which correspond to the faces, if you will, in humanity. And within each and every level of all the partsufim, we say there are the two elements or the two aspects. What are those? Hahitzoniut, the outside, Asher behem kidimyon aguf, the outside, we say, is symbolically in the form of a body. Ela neshamot shebifnim. And they are the form of a body to the level of the soul that is within it. And from this external side of the partsufim of Ze'er, Anpin, and Nok, of that realm of Atzilut, Nivra'u kol ha'olamot kulan shel bia kenoda. It is said that the image of, or the external side of, that gives revelation to lower worlds, of Ze'er, Anpin, and Nok, of the realm of Atzilut. Remember we said every partsuf has all of its own levels. Well, the levels of Beria, Yetzira, and Asiya of the partsuf of Zah, of Atzilut, which is the source, give rise to and emanate the lower worlds, the collective greater general worlds of Beria, Yetzira, and Asiya. Or in other words, the source of the lower world of Beria is the subjective portion of Beria within Zah of Atzilut. The entire lower world of Yetzira has its source in the subjective Yetzira of Zah. Same thing with Asiya. Like we taught from the Shari Kiddushav, everything in the lower domain having a source and tap and connection into the higher domain. That is the nature of the relationship of things. Ki kol nivraim, all of creation, the kol abriut, and everything that's alive, sheyesh kulam, everything is bitsiur, dumut, partzufa adam, we say everything is in the image of man, and again, remember that's a symbolic image, not to be taken literally. And he quotes here a section from the Zohar, etc., and so on. And he states, Afilu amalachim, even angels themselves, kulam hem bechinat chitzoniut dezun datzilut. The angels themselves still are an expression of this external side of the zun, Ze'er, Anpin, and Nok, of atzilut. However, yesh bechinat shnia, we said now there is this second aspect, and that is the Pnimiyut Shebo, the inside aspect of everything. And this, he says, is like the neshama, the soul within the body that surrounds it from the outside. And Bechinat Zo Nivra'u Nishma'ot B'nei Adam HaTzadikim HaTachtonim. And it's from this element, from the inner aspect of the light above, we say, from here come the soul of the righteous in this world below. Ki nishmat azacharim ezah, male souls will come from the sephirotic face of Zah, and the female souls will come from the face called Nok of Zah. Ba'ofan ki kol neshamot tzadikim, because all the souls of all the righteous, they are greater inside, more penimi than the malachim, all of the malachim, who, as we said, are external from the souls. And this follows, again, the pattern of what we said, Bia, Biria Yitzirasiya, like we've described. That the neshamot, these neshamot, they are internal in relationship to the malachim, who are even from that exact same world. Because the neshamot, we said, come from the inner or deeper source. Now, each and every level, and each and every dimensional plane, we have this division of souls. Those which look up to receive, are called Bereatic. Those who look down to give are called Yetziratic. And that's just the true whether we're talking at the subjective level of Zah of Atzilut. It's the truth at the subjective level of the lower world of Beria. It's the subjective truth, the lower world of Yetzirah, and all the rest. It follows the same pattern throughout. Those who look up to receive are considered higher than those who look down to give. Those who look up to receive are called Neshamot souls. Those who look down to give are called messenger angels. At each and every dimensional plane. And the lesson applies to us individually at the level psychological. That's, if you understand this basic concept, then you understand the nature of the interactions within our own minds and thoughts, as well as how our minds and thoughts are a reflection of the great supernal pattern of how things are done. Moving right along. He continues and he states, "V'zei sod hen ar alim tz'aku chutza." Quoting the verse from the Bible, he says, this is the secret of the verse that says, "Behold, the angels cry outside." Outside, meaning from the outside domains. And our sages said, "Afilu malachei shalom einan yecholin l'kanos." Even the angels of peace, who are considered to be a very high level of angel, still cannot go into this inner domain. Why is that? I mean, aren't there high enough angels who can go within? So how could these angels be considered any different from all the rest that we have to hear, you know, make a statement about them being separate, right, from all the rest? The inyan muvan ima niskar la'el, because as we said, the matter is clear with what we've discussed. Ki liot shekol ha-malachim, all the realm of the messengers, the angels, they are from the outside domains, and the souls are from the inside domains. And again, remember, inside, outside are a function of experience, not necessarily a definition of location. Behine, yesh bechinat malachim krovim ele neshamot. There are those malachim, angels, who are very close to the souls of the righteous, more so than other angels. Those angels who are closest to the souls, those are called the angels of peace. Umahu de temas. Well, what's there to be surprised about? So then what's the big deal about these angels? What makes them so separate from the rest? These angels of whom we call the angels of peace, they are the angels who gather in the souls of the righteous when they pass from this world. And they're the ones who greet them and say, "Yavo shalom, yanuchu al mishkivotam, holech nachuchu, komu shemar azal." These are the angels whose job it is to welcome the soul into the afterlife. That sounds like a lovely story, beautiful legend. Let's not interpret this in any way literally, lest we fall into the dangers of creating mythology and fantasy. So, it is described. We've learned from people who've had near-death experiences. We've had learning and teachings from legends and teachings from around the world, cross-culturally, that when a soul passes and they go off in the other world, they are often met on the other side by loved ones or the like, etc. These greeters who come to greet the souls of the righteous are referred to here as the angels of peace. And remember, their job is to be messengers. Well, apparently, souls are still some type of thing. We're dealing in a non-corporeal reality, because remember, angels are not corporeal, and certainly neither are souls. But somehow, somewhere, these entities, their job is to gather the human souls as they depart their bodies and to, if you will, direct them, take them. Let's use a common phrase today, take them to heaven. How's that? Because think about it. When you pass away, if you've ever read any of the episodes of Near Death Experience, people don't blink their eye and they wake up and they're in heaven. No, they see some kind of a tunnel. They see some kind of a light. Go into the light, like they make popular in the movies and the like. In other words, you're not awakened in heaven. You're awakened somewhere else, and you gotta catch the heavenly subway in order to get from point A to point B. Now, what is the actual nature of this tunnel of light? Is it a wormhole? Is it this or that? I mean, who knows? We'll let the scientists analyze these things within a scientific context if and when they ever develop technology to that point where they would do such a thing. Our job is to understand it from our present point of view. There are entities whose job it is to gather up the souls and to guide them along the path. Now you might say, well, gee whiz, I mean, how hard is it to walk the path? What's the big deal? Well, believe it or not, not everybody can make it into the light. Some people miss the path. I should say some souls miss the path. Some souls get stuck here in this dimensional plane, and they become what we call earthbound spirits. Many of them are afraid to walk into the light. Many of them are literally just lost. And many of them will then seek human host bodies in which to inhabit, because that gives them some semblance of reconnection to the physical world, which they desperately do not want to leave. You know, we call those souls that would seek a host body to inhabit, so in which to enjoy the world. We call those dibuks, a dibuk. That's the source of what we call possession. That's how the legends in the Torah teaches these things to be. So therefore, the angels of peace are very, very busy. There are other angels whose job it is to gather up all of these other lost souls. They're called Malachei Chabalah, the angels of destruction. Some souls, you know they got something coming to them on the other side, and they're not so willing to embrace it. And as soon as they're out of the body, they try to hightail it. And you have what, if you will allow me to musingly say, the angelic police who go after them. So if these souls go rogue, these souls go criminal, then you have the angelic police, to use a metaphor, to go and run them down. And you have a number of books and literature which will speak about this. And interestingly, you'll find these same concepts and teachings cross-culturally around the world. So again, we should not think that this is some unique Jewish theology, when indeed it's just not. So anyway, these angels of peace, Rabbi Chaim here, the Ben Ish Chai here, are telling us that their job is to gather in the souls. And you could say, well, gee, why? Well, what do they do? Well, being that they have to take the souls of the righteous, those whose job it is, or I should say those souls who merit, return to the world of Biriyah. Well, being that these angels are the ones closest to the world of Biriyah, think about it within a physical example, all right? They're the ones who could take the souls to the higher level, to the actual border and boundary of that higher domain, from which they are then taken and brought above. V'lechen nikru malachei shalom, that's why they're called the angels of peace. Mitzad bechinat zeh, haya efshar shikana tzubu pnimiut imen hashemot. So you could see, well, gee, from that side, shouldn't they be able to enter into that higher domain along with the soul? Ulaze shmi'anu. This is why we are taught. She'afilu hem omdim bechutz. Even they cannot enter that higher domain. They still yet have to stand outside. Ve'nichnasim bifnim. They still cannot enter within. V'ken ketab l'shon hazeh Rabbeinu. And it says, Rabbi Chaim also spoke in the same manner in his book called the Mavo Sha'arim. Continuing. V'ken ketab Rabbeinu zala b'lashon hazeh b'shar ma'amre raza. Rashbi b'bi'ur ha'idrazuta v'zeh l'shono. Rabbi Chaim also spoke in similar nature in the book, one of the eight gates, called the Teachings of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, specifically in the commentary on the Idrazuta. This is what he writes. Da, no. Ki neshamot shel tzadikim, the souls of the righteous, hem yotir pnimiim mekol ha-malachim kulam. They are more inside than all of the angels combined. Chutz min ha-neshamot shehem ebiya, with the one exception of the souls themselves that are of the higher level. However, af hem yihyu kefi ha-erech atzman shel b'ri'a yitzira v'asiya. Each level of soul in and of itself follows the pattern of the world's b'ri'a, yitzira, and asiya. Or in other words, you have souls which are baryatic in nature. You have souls which are yitziratic in nature. You have souls which are asiatic in nature. And we've discussed this in our previous lessons, how these are more personality archetypes and orientations. And therefore, as such, you can have souls at the level of Beria, Yetzira, Asiya, and there are different orientations. So Rabbi Chaim continues, he says that the Neshamot of Beria, they are the ones that are greater than all the angels of that realm of Beria. Yet, they are less than the angels of the world of Atzilut. Now here is the point. Every domain has within it a subdivision of domains. So the world of Atzilut has within it its own Atzilut of Atzilut, its Birya of Atzilut, its Yetzira of Atzilut, and its Asiya of Atzilut. Same thing with Birya. So even though the entire Biryanic realm is the realm of souls, you have souls of the Birya of the Biryanic realm, the Yetzira of the Yetziratic realm. And so in the Yetziratic realm, you have the Biryanic realm of the Yetziratic realm, the Yetziratic realm of the Yetziratic realm. Well, anything and everything from all four levels of the realm of Birya are higher than anything and everything of all the realms of Yetzira, because that's just the way the worlds are. However, even if you had a subjective Biryatic entity in its Yetziratic domain, that Biryatic Yetziratic entity of the Yetziratic domain is still less than the Yetziratic Malach entity of the Biryatic domain. Don't be confused by this. All levels of the higher world are higher than all levels of the lower world. It's that simple. V'ken al derech zeh b'shar ha'olamot. This is how it is with all the worlds. Komo shit ba'er b'komo, as we explain in its place. V'hine, now. Gam be'atzilut atzmo. Even in the realm of Atzilut itself, in the realms that are, in the aspects of Zeram Pina Nogatzman themselves, Yeshbim Shte Bechinot, they themselves have two different elements or aspects. The first, this is what we call the Chitzoni Ut, Shebehem, Shehiki Dimyan Guf, Ele Neshama Shelifnim, and we refer to that as having a semblance of body, not a real one, but a semblance of a body, in comparison to like a soul within it. And it's from the, in quote, external side of Zerampin and Nok that have come forth the creation of all the lower worlds of Biria, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. The four more external sides of the lower levels of Atzilut, Zerampin and Nok of Atzilut, that external side becomes the seed to all the worlds here below. And that, again, should be a straightforward concept. Kol ha-bari'ut sheba olam, all of life in all the world, they are the secret of the partsuf of man. Remember we said all life is part and parcel of the greater collective hive of man? Not just you and me, but all thinking sentient beings everywhere. It says, Kol ha-bari'ut shebe'olam, means all life in creation, right? Hem besod partsuf adam. They all form a composite whole. And he says, there's a quote here in the Parshat, again, from the Zohar. Even therefore, these elements of the angels who are created from the outside of Zerampin and Nok, they're also part of the greater image, if you will. V'sheni tu b'chinat ha-pinimiut. The second level, of course, we said, is that insideness of Zerampin and Nok. And it's from here that come forth the souls of the righteous, the male from Zah, the female from Nok. So we have the creation of the external form and structure of the universe, and then the inner side, which we call the sentient beings of consciousness. And then again, quoting again the verse from Isaiah, that's why it says the angels cry from without. Even the angels of peace are not able to enter into there. The kasha, he says, ma inyan omram zal shafilu malachei shalom ena nechnasin. And again, he says, well, you know, it's very difficult for us to understand how these angels cannot have access. Ki manishtenu elu mishara malachim. He's again quoting the same material that we just read from now a second source. Why are these angels different from all the others? All right, that we have to say about them that they don't enter. Everybody else doesn't enter. We already know that. Why do we have to say even these angels don't? The matter is that these angels, we said, are the chitzoniut. The neshamot, we said, are the penimiut. However, there are those angels, we'll call the angels of peace. They are special because they can receive the face of the righteous at the time of their death. That's like we described. Again, we're being completely repetitive. We're reading the same teaching from a second source that the Ben Ishai is quoting here from Chaim Vital. And they say, I'm welcome, you know, come in peace. This is what our sages said, quoting the verses, etc. Bahaya, min ra'ui she'elo malachim yesh lehem b'kiruv zeh. He says it should only be appropriate that these angels who can actually, if you will, lift up and gather these souls of the righteous, right, more than any of the angels, therefore should be only appropriate that they could enter into the higher domain of souls. Therefore, we have to be taught that even them, they don't have the ability to enter because they are still of the what called external domain. Now, it's not like there's a gate with a guard. And when the souls of the righteous come up and they pass through the gate, they say, you can't come in. Let's not think mythologically. Think of this as, if you will, in a higher dimensional plane. If you and I wanted to slide into the realm of dark matter, we might have a problem doing that. Let's say, for argument's sake, that the Great Hadron Collider in Europe can actually somehow create some kind of whatever it does to open a doorway into the dark matter universe. Well, what's going to go through that doorway? Maybe a single particle? Maybe a single atom? Well, gee whiz, can't we open it up so that you and I can go through? I mean, good gosh, I mean, it would be great tourism opportunities, right? Think about it. Now, let's be realistic. There's a big difference between getting an atom to go through and getting a human being to go through, which is made up of trillions and trillions of atoms. Now, again, I'm just using this as an example Because when we speak of traversing from the Yetziratic domain to the Bereatic domain, this is an appropriate example, going from one dimensional plane to the other. Can an atom from Yetzirah get into Bereah? Maybe not, but certainly not anything more than that. So the souls that are going to pass from one dimension to the next, they're brought to the gate, symbolically speaking, and then brought through the gate by whatever is on that other side. And that's how it is. Okay? Then he continues here and he states, Da, ki kol bichinam elo shnayim yesh lehem or penimi, or makif. He says, and everyone also has what's called inner light and outer light, which he does not elaborate here, and neither will we. But just like you have inside the vessel, outside the vessel, you have inner light and outer light. In other words, think about it. Inner light surrounded by the inside of the vessel, surrounded by the outside of the vessel, surrounded by a halo of outer light, or panimi, or makif, kli panimi, kli chitzon. These form four different functions. Gee whiz, four. Have I ever heard that quaternity before? Yeah, the four worlds, the four letters of God's name, the four dimensions, right? Intuition, intellect, if you will, emotion and form. Same thing. It's all the same patterns overlapping again and again using the just differences of symbolic terminology. Somebody's asking me a question, do I believe there is such a thing as a multiverse? Well, let me ask you a question. If there is a multiverse and I did not believe in it, would it therefore go away? Or if there is no multiverse and I did believe it, would it become real? Now, earlier in this class, maybe even before we began recording, I discussed the nature of how legends are formed, stories are built, and how people believe such things. And I gave the example of modern-day storytelling in the likes of our modern-day mythologies, things like the stories of Star Wars and the likes of the Jedi and the Sith. Well, if I want to believe that the Jedi are real, does my belief make it so? Now, don't tell me about things in my dreams or visions, or even the assumed visions of my afterlife. Is there an actual real domain? Is there a real planet Tatooine with a real Obi-Wan Kenobi and Luke Skywalker? The answers are no. Is there a real multiverse? I do believe science postulates that there is, and therefore it's not subject to an element of belief. Is there life on other planets? We have seen in our numerous expressions here in Kabbalistic literature, we see from other rabbinic sources the opinions that yes, there most definitely is. But yet you have a very loud voice among certain religious fundamentalists, not only Jewish, who want to say, no, there's no other life anywhere else in the universe, just us here on Earth. Well, let's say for argument's sake, for those people who say that, and we got about maybe, I don't know, a billion other races and civilizations out there, what are they going to say to these people on Earth who say you don't exist? Let's put the shoe on the other foot. There is a race of beings right now, somewhere orbiting a planet, one of the planets orbiting one of the Pleiadian stars. And they say, we've heard of this weird planet out there somewhere called Earth, but there's absolutely, positively no life there. It's impossible. Well, if a Pleiadian says that, does that make you and I go away? I don't think so. So therefore, denials do not necessarily mean that these things don't exist. Somebody is asking me a question, do I believe there is another Rabbi Bar Tzedok? Is there somebody else with that name? Probably. It's a common name. Do I believe I have a doppelganger in a parallel universe? According to the Lurianic system, we all have sparks of our souls in many other places. So according to the Lurianic system, then the obvious answer would be yes. However, today, my doppelganger has not crossed over dimensional planes to come over and have lunch with me. Now, I've invited him many a time, but unfortunately, he's never answered my invitations. Maybe that, you know, shift of how we get from one dimensional plane to the other, you know, with the whole thing about dark matter, light matter, crossing over. Maybe that's a problem somehow. So I don't know. Needless to say, I'm being facetious. But I need to do this to you because these ideas are discussed in our mystical and theological literature. And we do believe that these things exist. Modern science postulates and offers some significant and credible evidence. But yet, we don't have, if you'll allow me to use the Yiddish form of the Hebrew word, we don't have the tachlis. It's not in hand. My doppelganger and I still can't, you know, turn on the webcam, put my arm around and go, hey, here we are. We believe that this is possible. We are taught that this is so. And maybe someday we will see. Maybe. Let's sum up here. He quotes here again the Shar Kavanot and the Drushe Tefillah Tashahar. Drush Bet, he quotes again Rabbi Chaim, where he speaks about the tikkun of Tefillah Shacharit. He says, we've already explained about the level of the four different worlds of Abiyah. And we explain, he says, they explain in detail, Kfar Birarnu, Bibi Yuara Haktama Achere, Papar Shazino, blah, blah, blah. We're running out of time, so I'm just getting to the essence here. We say how there are two different elements and aspects in all of the different worlds. We say there is the outside essence, again called the Hitzoniut of the world. That is the general form and structures of all the worlds. That external side we call the throne of glory, the angels, the Ofanim angels. These are all the different external levels. And the second element we said is the inside element and aspect of the world. These are the souls of human beings. The Nefesh level of soul from the realm of Asiyah, the Ruach level of soul from Yetzirah, and the Neshama level of soul from Biriyah. All of these, we said, have the division of Or Panimi and Or Makif, inside light and outside light. Okay, so we're going to stop here. We'll pick up in our next class, continuing more about the nature of ascent of souls and of angels and all the things about that. So again, I want to thank you all for joining me for this class. I'm again your host, Ariel Bar-Tzedok of the Kosher Torah School. Come see us online at koshertorah.com. Please remember to support Kosher Torah. We get along only with your support. If you would shop amazon.com through the links that we have in Kosher Torah, they give us a kickback. We thank you for that. Your donations for using our honor system is greatly appreciated. And that we make these classes available to you. We ask and thank you for your support, and thank you for being with us, and hopefully we'll see you in our next class. God bless, good night, buenas noches, shalom.